Welcome, everyone, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Hope your Wednesday afternoon is going well. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great guest coming up in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about the bail system here in Wisconsin, but more broadly, that conversation on a national scale. What you should actually know about bail, what works and what doesn't, what is unique about Wisconsin laws, and what we should all be asking ourselves about Donald Trump's recent proposal relating to bail. Before we get to that, we've got some breaking news. This is being reported just this hour by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A family in rural Wisconsin has retained a civil rights attorney and is calling for a hate crime investigation after a video captured a violent scene. A black teenager was being beaten by a group of young men at a party in the town of Pulaski in western Wisconsin. Iowa County Sheriff Michael Peterson called the video disturbing and said, "We have no place in society for violence like that." But he said an investigation by his office determined, based on witness account, that the attack on the teenager was not racially motivated. Civil rights attorney B. Ivory Lamar is representing the family and has called for that full investigation and for arrest to be made forthwith. We'll keep our eye on this story. Again, that is reporting this hour from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Credit to Journal Sentinel reporter Drake Bentley. With that, it is my pleasure to be joined this next half hour by retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein. She is the executive director of the Law Enforcement Action Partnership, here to help us get smarter about all things bail. Welcome to the show, Lieutenant Goldstein. It is really a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Really super honored. And this is such a critically important conversation. And every state is a little bit different. So I know you want to educate your listeners. So let's start with Wisconsin, and then I can lead into a couple different areas across the country that I think people would be kind of surprised on how cashless bail actually isn't effective in promoting public safety.
Thanks so much for that. Most folks here in Wisconsin didn't really, I think, even consider what our laws surrounding bail were here in the state until just a few years ago, the Waukesha County parade tragedy occurred. For those of you who remember this in vague terms, what had happened was a man who had been arrested on charges unrelated to that parade tragedy was granted a relatively low bail. At the time, the district attorney that was attending that bail hearing did not have the research that is typically provided to district attorneys that would indicate dangerousness and or prior criminal charges. As a result, relatively low bail set. That bail was then paid by that man. He went out and the Waukesha County parade tragedy occurred and lives were lost. It is an incredible tragedy. But in the wake of that tragedy here in Wisconsin, there were calls from everything from the then current Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm to be removed from his office, to all sorts of legislative proposals around cashless bail. What got lost in that discussion, Lieutenant Goldstein, was the fact that in the state of Wisconsin, the dangerousness of the accused defendant cannot be considered, I'll say that again, cannot be considered under state law in setting bail. The only factor that can be considered in setting bail is the likelihood of that person to return to face their further criminal proceedings. That has been a problem in the state of Wisconsin. There should be bail reform in the state of Wisconsin, in my opinion, to exclusively, not exclusively, but perhaps both the propensity to return for the rest of their criminal proceedings, but more importantly, the dangerousness and the safety threats posed to the community if that person is released. So with that as background, why this is an issue that is of top line political importance here in the state of Wisconsin, Lieutenant, please help us understand why this is such an issue nationally and why Donald Trump was issuing these directives and indicating his support for cashless bail.
Well, what, you know, is... President Trump was actually trying to end cashless bail, which is really super interesting, given that he actually received cashless bail for all his myriad of criminal charges, right? And so what he's trying to do with cashless bail is he's trying to drive a political wedge that and use it to prevent federal dollars going to states where there is cashless bills. So I want your Wisconsin listeners to know that this isn't the only state that does this. New York has a bail law that's very similar that goes back decades. And I think this is the unintended consequence of legislators when they make laws that they don't look at what are the potential outcomes on this. I believe in cashless bail. Most importantly, the first factor that we need to determine is the risk to the public. And then as a equal measure is obviously failure to appear. And what people also need to understand is the bail industry has been opposing cashless bails because similar to the policing for profit issue around civil asset forfeiture, right, is cops want to keep civil asset forfeiture because it's a policing for profit. I would suggest to you that bail is the same. I've been working on this issue across multiple states in the past, and I want your listeners to understand that I was working sex crimes years ago. I had a long history, close to 22 years in law enforcement, and I did everything from gang work. I ran a surveillance team. I worked sex crimes. So I understand how important that risk assessment is. And I also understand how bail can absolutely ruin blue collar, hardworking families because they lose their jobs. They lose their access to, their housing. There's so many different issues that are tied around this. So for folks that may remember, this is the Max Factor grandson years ago. I think this was like back in the early 2000s, ended up raping three women. And there was a really high bail that was put on him, but because he comes from tremendous amount of wealth, is he ended up absconding on his bail, ended up hiding in Mexico, the country, in Mexico. And then he was tried without his presence, convicted, and then Mexico returned him. And so if the appropriate assessment, whether you're rich or poor, is if you hurt someone, if you harm someone, if you are a risk to others, that should be the primary determination first, and then we can look at potential failure to appear.
Thanks so much. And again, folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking to retired Lieutenant Diane Goldstein, the executive director of the Law Enforcement Action Partnership. She's the first female lieutenant, by the way, at the Redondo Beach Police Department in California, served a distinguished career that covered many different units within the Redondo PD. What we are talking about when we speak about cashless bail and the support of a cashless bail system is this baseline concept that it should not be your family's wealth, your wealth, or the wealth that you may have access to because of your criminal activity that decides whether or not you are released before you are convicted. So you have been charged, right? There has been a probable cause, an indictment. You are facing criminal charges. There is going to be a criminal trial. And the question is, do you remain free before your trial? And cashless bail says, the principle, the idea, those that support cashless bail, as the lieutenant does and as I do, we say this: it should not be your wealth that determines your status as a free or incarcerated person in this country. It should be the risk or the threat that you pose to public safety, whether you are rich or poor. And that's what this is about. People that try to tell you it is about something else are misconstruing the issue. And thank you so much for bringing up the bail bonds industry, Lieutenant. There have been proposals, there have been discussions in the state of Wisconsin about introducing bail bonds here. We have not had that here. That is simply profiteering off of our criminal justice system. It is an abomination. It does not help improve public safety. And frankly, I am always appalled when it gets raised as, hey, maybe we should do this in Wisconsin. No, we shouldn't. And we need to reform our law here in Wisconsin, one, to adopt cashless bail, and two, to include dangerousness as the primary determinant factor of whether or not someone's released pending criminal trial. Given your experience in law enforcement, Lieutenant, please speak to the folks out there that, and I've got one of my usual conservative callers on the line, I'm sure with his hair on fire here. Speak to those folks who think that we should be releasing people based on their ability to pay bail. Why is that such a bad idea from a community safety perspective?
Sure. So you guys are Illinois adjacent, right? And I've done work in Illinois on cashless bail. And so, you know, Illinois is really interesting. They had the Pretrial Fairness Act in 2021. Once it passed, there was a lawsuit that got introduced pushing back against it. In fact, you know, saying this is going to cause all this danger. And then when the lawsuit flipped it over and said, no, there's no constitutional issues here. This law is perfectly good to be implemented. It rolled out in 2023. A recent study out of Loyola and the University of Chicago with the Brennan Center showed, and they did a comparison, and I think this is how we assess public safety. This is how we should be assessing policies based on outcomes. They did a comparison of the first 6 months of 2023 when the law was implemented and 2024, not just in looking at Chicago, but the state of Illinois. And they literally reflected no increase in crime. And in fact, what was really interesting when they started looking at the issue of failure to appear, because I think that's really important, before the law was implemented, prior to change, that FTA, the failure to appear rate was 17%. And literally a year later, it was down to 15%.
Wow.
Because there's all sorts of things that also happen around the issue of cashless bail. It's not just cashless bail. There are systems that you can put in place. And one of the things that we know across the country that you can use technology, especially given the cell phones, that there's a lot of counties, there's a lot of states that are moving, or municipalities, court systems that are moving to, when they do this cashless bail, they also understand that people can be forgetful, right?
Yep. I'm going to jump in. You're talking about is electronic monitoring through a variety of different technologies. That's how you help ensure people return. And we're going to stop calling it cashless bail. I think we should start talking about it in terms of threat-based bail decisions, because it is a much greater capitalization of this issue. We're going to take care of a little business. We're going to come back with the lieutenant. We're going to talk more about this, as well as civil asset forfeitures and why every American and Wisconsinite should be concerned. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.